Good morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been risen. And I'd like to welcome all of you in our service. And those who are connected to us through internet, you guys are welcome too. And God's grace will be with us as we are giving our lives to our God in this worship service together. Amen. Amen. We have announcements from Children's Ministry.
This is Bob. Bob is volunteering at Hometown Nazareth Vacation Bible School.
Loaves and fishes, please.
Bob is really into his role at Nazareth.
Do you have change for a shekel?
That's because Bob knows he's making God's Word come alive for kids and adults. Be like Bob. Join our team at Hometown Nazareth.
Yes, please be like Bob. He may be taking his commitment a bit far, but it is admired and appreciated by his VBS director. If you would like to be part of this year's VBS, please register on the church website with the QR code or the link. There are also hard copies for volunteer registration outside room P4. Or just let me know. And there is registration for adult volunteers and children in all those places. Today we are looking for shopkeepers and tribe or family leaders, even a tax collector. Our dear Natalie thinks Mr. Buckler should be the tax collector. I don't know if the church treasurer should be collecting shekels from little kids.
Yes, we have another, announcement. As you might remember, last Sunday, we had the time to, know about the lives of the, Ukraine defectors in the United States, especially those who are living here in Michigan. So our United Women in Faith and our mission team, they co-hosted this, special event, and then they raised $950. This money will be used for the Ukraine immigrants who are living here in our, Michigan. So they did a wonderful job. Let's give them a round of hands together. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay. Please stand up and let us greet one another. Thank you.
Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Come before the Lord, reverence. Hold his statutes in mind and be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Repent and return to the joy of your salvation.
We welcome the children to come down for the children's blessing, please. Would you go pick my pen up and put it on the things? Hello, how are you guys? Good to see you. Good morning. Our story today is found in John Chapter 21. Has anybody been fishing? Okay. Well, in this story, the disciples are fishing and Jesus is cooking breakfast. I think we have a slide of what that breakfast might have looked like. Doesn't that look yummy? If you ever get to go to Israel, that's the way your breakfast is going to look, or your lunch, or your dinner. The big ideas of this story, though, are that the disciples learned to follow Jesus' directions, to keep their eyes on him, love him, serve him, and follow him.
Dear Jesus, we love you. Help us never take our eyes off of you. Let us follow you and obey your directions. May we serve you and those you love. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please bow your heads and join me in the prayer? Dear most gracious God, we praise and worship you as our creator, father, and sustainer. This is because of who you are and what you have been doing in our lives. You have called us to be your family where we can be continually transformed so that we can reflect your patient love for the people in our lives. God, forgive our insensitivity to what you are doing. Forgive our indiligence to participate in your work of mercy. Please help us to be constantly reshaped in your mighty and gracious hands. We humbly pray that we want to be the radiance of your goodness and mercy, unwaveringly and unlimitedly. As we hear the news of global warming and natural disasters in the world and also in the United States, we repent of our unfaithfulness in preserving your creation. God, let us begin with what we can do to keep your creation as your stewards. Remember the cries and tears of those who are in war-torn countries, such as Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, Myanmar, and many others. We pray for your healing and reconciliation over the nations. Allow their leaders to have a fearful mind about who you are as the ultimate judge. God, thank you for what you have done in our church, Midland First. Help us to move forward and use us as agents of your kingdom on earth, so that when people meet us, let them meet your grace and love. Heal and comfort our church families who lost their loved ones and who have been in sickness. Let them find your presence and faithfulness at this time. Now we pray the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to a time of offering. Please take out our French pad and let us know you are here with us, you know, this morning. And please continually support the missions we have in our church. And we are called to be God's missionary, especially through Midland First. Ushers, would you please come forward?
As we are having our offering taken today, I invite you to listen to the Explore class. They have been working really hard on something very difficult and very scary, a new instrument. So you will see in front of you there is an ensemble of folks, and they are each learning something different and new, and we have learned a couple of sacred tunes for you to enjoy.
Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings we have from you, Lord. And also, God, as a token of our commitment and love for you, we are giving these offerings to you. God, we pray that you use these offerings only for your glory. And also, at the same time, we give our lives to you. Use us only for your kingdom. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and endurance. I know that your latest works are greater than the first. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, and is teaching and beguiling my servants to engage in sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refused to repent over her sexual immorality. Beware, I'm throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I'm throwing into great distress, unless they repent of her doings. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I'm the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over nations to rule them with an iron scepter, as when clay pots are shattered. Even as I also received authority from my Father, to the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please bow your head once again and join me in the prayer? Dear Lord, you are the one who is always revealing who you are to us and also in our lives. God, we want to have a new knowledge of who you are. We want to renew our minds, and we want to follow your direction. God, please bless your church as we are trying to obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In my last sermon, I shared with you that we have to base our lives, missions and ministries on the confession we have in Jesus Christ. Do you remember that from last Sunday sermon? Which means our knowledge of Jesus Christ is a motivation for our lives, ministries, and missions. I'm not talking about our head knowledge. I'm talking about our heart knowledge. The knowledge of Jesus we have from our own experiences. The knowledge of Jesus Christ from what he has done for us until now. Then let me ask you this question. Who is Jesus Christ to you? From your own experiences, from the things he has done for your life, who is Jesus Christ to you? The things we have in our hearts and the things we do are closely related to our understanding and experiences of Jesus Christ. As we continue our sermon series today, what Jesus thinks of his church, let us find who Jesus is from his letter to the church in Thyatira. And who is Jesus Christ? From the scripture today, Jesus is the Son of God, and he has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. It reminds us of the furnace in which Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into, and the heavenly Son of Man, who had eyes like flaming torches and feet like polished bronze, rescued them. Daniel chapter 3. But think about it. Why Jesus Christ revealed himself using the picture in Daniel chapter 3? What happened to them? They were rescued because of their faithfulness. They didn't worship the idol. They kept their faithfulness to God, which means if you are faithful to me, you will experience the same thing they experienced in their life. I'm the same God in the time of Daniel's life, and also I'm the same God with you, the church Thyatira, and also you, Midland First. I'm the same God. Be faithful. Second Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is looking for faithful people all over the world. And God is looking for faithful churches all the time. Why does God look for faithful people? It is because God himself is faithful to us. Let us read the following scriptures today on the screen. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and endurance. I know that your latest works are greater than the first, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is teaching and beguiling my servants to engage in sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. Jesus knows the church's love, faith, and service, and endurance. He knows their works from beginning to end because he has been watching over them. Also, he knows of their tolerance of the first teaching from a first prophet, Jezebel. Jezebel, Balaam, and Lycaonites all tried to lead God's people into idolatry and sexual immorality. Yes, we are facing the same thing, even though we are living in a different world, different times, but still we are facing the challenges of the idol worship and also sexual immorality. But Jesus knows what we are doing. Nothing will be hidden. Everything will be revealed. God's eyes have been fixed on his church, and he is speaking to his church for its repentance and renewal and to be put back on track to be faithful to him. What we need at this time, as we are going through General Conference, there are people who fear the future of our denomination and also future of Midland First. But the real thing we have to fear about is our unfaithfulness. We have to hold on to God's faithfulness. By doing so, we have to be faithful to our God. Romans 1:21, verses 1 through 5. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. What does that mean? Yes, our Lord is faithful. Our Lord is faithful. That is why he is looking for faithful people who know God's faithfulness in their lives. Revelation 2:23. Let us read this scripture again, together. And all the churches will know that I'm the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. God said, don't mess up with me. I know your heart. And you will receive according to the things you have done for your church and for me. Then what does Jesus want to find in our minds and hearts? Think about it. What is he looking for in our hearts and in our minds? Our faithfulness. Our faithfulness. Our faithfulness to God and God's words and God's kingdom. God is looking for faithful people who know God's faithfulness to us, which is possible because of his grace. I remember 2 years ago when we did a straw vote. Before that vote and after that vote, I met several people who talked to me about their unhappiness, about what's going on in the church. And I was thinking about our faithfulness to God. Do you think God is faithful to us? Yes, I have noticed God's faithfulness to us in the past 2 years. And God is looking for the people who knows God's faithfulness so that they can be faithful to our God. Then think about this. Why is our knowledge of Jesus, of God, of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, so important? Why do you think our knowledge of Jesus Christ is so important? The first one is this. It invites us to meditate on Jesus and pray and worship him. J.I. Packer says in his book, Knowing God, a little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about him, yet encourages us to turn each truth that we learn about God unto matter for meditation before God, leading to prayer and praise to God. If we have a real true knowledge about Jesus Christ in our lives, even though it's very small, that will lead us always into our meditation, who Jesus Christ is, and also 2-hour worship and prayer, if we have that small modicum of knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is why our knowledge of Jesus Christ is so important. So we have to be very intentional to seek the knowledge of Jesus Christ in our lives, because by doing so, we can grow more. We want to speak as God teaches us to speak. We want to take actions as God gives us the burden in our heart, because we have that knowledge of Jesus Christ. Secondly, our knowledge of Jesus Christ helps us to understand that we are the ones who need God's grace. It means this: if we have a true knowledge of Jesus Christ, that always leads us to think about who we are. Because of that knowledge, God helps us to understand where we are spiritually. Think about Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians there, to bring them to Jerusalem. He thought, because of his passion for God, he couldn't tolerate the Christians there. But when he met Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ, he could understand what he was trying to do. Do you remember the revelation of Jesus Christ there? He says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." When God reveals himself to us, we can understand right away, oh, it is God. It is God who is speaking to me. He didn't have any doubt. Jesus Christ is God himself. When he said, "I'm the one you are persecuting," he just thought, "I'm doing this for the glory of God." But he was persecuting God. When we have a new knowledge of Jesus Christ, that really helps us to understand who we really are. We are the ones who need Jesus Christ's grace. Think about Jacob in Genesis 32. He was wrestled with God at the river Jabbok as he prepared to meet his brother Esau. Jacob didn't let God go. So God touched the socket of Jacob's hip and it became wrenched. Jacob still didn't want to let him go until he blessed him. There God changed his name to, remember, Israel, which means the one who wrestles with God, who struggles with God. Name change in the Bible means a change of the person's identity, destiny, and mission. Jacob called the place Peniel, meaning face of God. And he said, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." He experienced God's saving grace and received a special grace of a new identity, destiny, and mission from God. From then on, he limped wherever he went, which served as a way for him to remember the grace of God he received on the day at the river of Jabbok. So, whenever he traveled, he just limped But she knew it's the grace of God. Let us think about the manna and quails the Israelites received in the wilderness. How long did they receive the provision from God? It was for 40 years. Throughout their journey in the wilderness, until they reached the border of the land of Canaan. Do you see the faithfulness of God there? Yes, he was really faithful to his people. But you remember how long they stayed in Egypt as slaves. 400 years. They were idol worshippers. They had to understand, without the grace of God, they cannot do anything. They cannot survive. They couldn't any food in the wilderness. So they had to fully depend on God's grace. God had to train them to depend on him in their lives in the wilderness for 40 years. God was faithful to them, and they had to understand God's faithfulness and grace to them every single day. That is why we pray, give us today our daily bread. We need God's provision, God's grace, God's faithfulness every single day. By recognizing this need daily, we can understand who we are as the ones who know and need God's grace. Last but not least, our true knowledge of Jesus Christ always leads us to commit ourselves to his grace and church. Apostle Paul's understanding of the church can be found in his repeatedly used phrase, en Christus, in Christ. En Christus, in Christ. What is the meaning of in Christ? It means we are in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are in the presence of our God at this time. And also, we are in Jesus Christ's grace. Last but not least, we are in the body of Jesus Christ together. He never forgets about this phrase, en Christus. Yes, I'm in the grace of Jesus Christ. Even though I'm in trials, suffering, even though I had to stand before the, you know, courtroom, God is with me. And the power of the Holy Spirit is with me. Yes, I'm in the body of Jesus Christ. And I have the grace from Jesus Christ with me. En Christus. Do you see that? The middle and the first has been in en Christus, right? And your lives are the same. We have been in Christ. That's why in his suffering he could say, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. Also in the same chapter, he shared this message with his spiritual son Timothy like a will for him. And my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. That was his prayer And that was his will for Timothy. Even though no one was there in the court to support me, I was Anchistus. Jesus Christ was there. And I pray that God used that situation to bring the message of the gospel to the Gentile people there. Please remember, God knows everything. He's not just knowing us. He's working for us. And remember, we are in Christ together. Amen. Let us read this in the last scripture from Revelation 2:25 through 27. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule them with an iron scepter, as when clay pots are shattered. What does that mean? Jesus Christ is revealing the ending story of his redemption work. You will join me to rule the nations. And the victory is mine. So don't worry. Be faithful to the end. And then you will have the morning star, which means Christ reign, the kingdom of God. And you will join the kingdom of God together with me. We know the ending stories we have, and we will have that victory. Amen? Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, we are yours. You have been faithful to us and to our church. Help us, God, to be faithful to you. And help us to remember we are in Christ, your Son. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. There is an announcement from the SLC.
Good morning. On behalf of the Strategic Leadership Council, I would like to announce that Reverend Yum has been appointed to serve the Carleton United Methodist Church effective July 1st, 2024. Reverend Yum has accepted this appointment made by Bishop David Bard in consultation with the cabinet of the Michigan area. In due time, we will learn who our next pastoral leader will be. Pastor Yum has devoted many years of faithful service to our church and blessed our congregation with his many spiritual gifts and talents. We will have an opportunity to honor and celebrate the ministry of Pastor Yum and to thank him and Somi and their family for their service to our church at a reception in June. Please hold their family in your prayers during this time of transition as they prepare to share their gifts with another congregation. May we all trust in God's amazing grace and in the love of Christ and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit during this time of transition as we move forward into the future. Thanks.
Would you please stand? Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can be transformed continually in the image of Jesus Christ. Now go in peace. Amen.